Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Hope you missed us. We missed you guys. What's going on? Welcome to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. It's been a little while, but hey, it's Steelers Hate Week part deux pretty much right now. And, of course, joining me, talking as always, it's my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, man, how you been? Long time no talk. Hello, fans. How y'all doing?
It's good to be back here, man. We missed 1 week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Plenty of football was going on that week. But, hey, we got to talk about it. The first Steelers game of the season. We didn't get to review it, really, but it was quite an interesting game. Started off first play a little shaky, had me worried. But, hey, this team came out on top, and it was great to see.
I know, we played those little yellow bumblebees again. I don't know what that was. That was hard to watch, but the beginning of the game was kind of ugly, fans. I know it was 2 weeks ago. We'll touch on it briefly. I couldn't believe it. You know, at 40 seconds in the game, we let this backup mediocre quarterback run down the field and essentially just take off and score. And I was just like, are you kidding me right now? But as a fan, you know, as a believer, we pulled it together. I said, they're not going to really score on us anymore. I think we got this game. Which Henry scored 3 more points the whole game. So we got him in check. The defense stepped up. It was a great overall game. You know, obviously the offense, you know, Joe Flacco didn't really turn the ball over, which is great. And how about Jacoby Jones yet again? Oh, my God. What a special player this guy. And speaking of special, he earned AFC Special Teams Player of the Month. So congratulations, Jacoby Jones. I think that deserves a game ball, obviously. And the defense is total. You know, they stepped up where we needed to step up. They didn't allow another red zone touchdown. Kept Pittsburgh at bay. And how about this? 3 straight wins in Pittsburgh, 3 years in a row. How about it, fans? Let's go.
That sounds pretty good. You know, there was a lot going on during that game, and it was like an old-school Ravens-Steelers game. It was hard-hitting, and somebody who made his presence known pretty well during the Steelers game, and then also in last week's Charger game, but on the defense, Paul Kruger, man, really stepping up. And he said in an interview not too long ago that he was happy Terrell Suggs was able to come back because he was able to be like a football player again, and you can actually see that on the field. Paul Kruger is being a huge threat to every other quarterback out there right now.
He is, and it's almost like when you add and take away players, you can kind of see the effects. I mean, obviously, when you put Suggs, Ray Lewis, and Reed back in there, things change because players got to pay attention to these. I mean, Suggs gets doubled or tripled. It leaves room for, you know, what was Jared Johnson. It was great to see him again on the other sideline. It just sucks that he wasn't a Raven again, but, you know, we know the business end of the NFL, and he went over to the West Coast, and it was great to see, you know, well, now number 96, Jared Johnson, but you're right. With Kruger and with, you know, with McLean and with Ellerbee, they're getting in there and they're creating the holes, and it's allowing other players to step up and be an integral part of the defense, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, well, let's go and talk about this Chargers game last week. I got to tell you, going into it, I was chalking this up to a loss. I feel okay saying that because the Ravens don't have a good road record, especially going out on the West Coast. I mean, I've gone out and done really quick, you know, day or 2 day trips out to the West Coast for work, and it's not enjoyable because you got to get used to the time difference, and you know, it's different kind of weather out there and everything. So it's a big change, and I can't imagine going out there and playing football like that. But the Ravens came out on top, and what a game that was. And I like the fact that they kind of broke that stigma of going out there on the West Coast and being able to win a game.
You're right. Well, what a game it was. I mean, you're right, going back to chalking up for a loss, I took some flack for that. You know, I obviously put my prediction out there. We didn't do a show, which I was kind of itching, chomping a bit because there was so much to talk about with Steeler Week and then with the game leading up to the Chargers game. I was very excited to talk, and it was just hard. I even called in some local radio shows this week because I had to get my opinion out there, man. I was just chomping at the bit to talk, you know me. But, you know, and we talked, you know, now for text and phones through the week, and just seeing how this game, you know, the preview of this game was, I was like, you know what, we're down Jimmy Smith, we're down Ladarius Webb, Phillip Rivers, yes, he's without Vincent Jackson, but he loves to throw it. They got physical receivers, Antonio Gates, You know, we usually play awful on the road. Flacco doesn't really play well on the road. Statistically and historically, we haven't been playing well on the road. It hasn't shown. I was like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and put on. I did pick the Chargers to win 27-24. Obviously, I said the boys proved me wrong. Well, I'm so happy our boys proved us wrong here because I can't believe we won. I'm still in shock about this win. It was a huge win in AFC. It sent shockwaves throughout the whole AFC as far as the playoff picture. I'm telling you what, man, when we have playmakers, I don't get it. When we always, you know, Cam Cameron, about not using our playmakers in the offense, you know, last year, giving the ball to Ray Rice 12 times against Jacksonville Jaguars Monday Night Football. We always talk about give the ball to your playmakers when it's crunch time. You know, when Mike, like we talked about before, who would you rather have the ball on the Bulls? Steve Kerr or Michael Jordan taking the last shot? Obviously, we're going to pick MJ. You put the ball in your playmakers' hands when it's crunch time. Joe Flacco delivered. Dude, I'm telling you what, Brandon, what a play in Ravens history. Fourth and 29. Can you believe it?
Fourth and 29. That was an amazing, amazing play. It was a little bit of controversy there. The refs, you know, weren't sure where to spot the ball, where to put the chains or anything like that. But what a play that was. Before that play, I actually went out. You can look at this on my Twitter account, at BrandoCash. But I put out there, well, we all knew this was going to happen. Well, this is what happens when you go to the West Coast. The Ravens don't play well. And then Ray Rice comes and does a fourth and 29. Just an amazing play. This guy is a freight train, and when he wants to go, he goes. And that was the right play at the right time. So, got to give it up to our offensive coordinator. And you got to give it up to Flacco and Ray Rice for being able to get that play done, because that play really did change the entire dynamic of the game. And I got to say, it probably changed the dynamic for the rest of the season, because we've got, you know, playoffs coming up, and we've got things that could happen within the week to decide what's going to happen in those playoffs. So this was a defining moment of our entire season.
Defining moment it was. Just going back and looking at it, if we, I mean, obviously Pittsburgh, what a performance they did. 8 turnovers against the Brownies. Thank God for the Cleveland Browns beating them, and Charlie Cookie Batch, I called him Cookie Batch this Sunday, so I got some new nicknames for the Steelers guys, and you know, wow, what a loss that, you know, Pittsburgh took, so it helped us out a little bit, and then this led to 6-5, and then we were like, okay, well, now we can gain ground, this is an important win. And then as the game was on, I kept looking at my buddy, and I shook my head, I was like, is it really still 10-3? It feels like we're losing by 30 points, and not that I counted the Ravens out, but you know, the Ravens are a second-half football team. It's almost like just tune in at the third quarter, start of the third quarter, and see what they can do. The last couple years has been like that. You know, in the first half, we just don't get in gear, but here's football. It's about adjustments. You go in the locker room, you look what's not working, you get that 15 minutes to regroup, and you go back out and fix it. That happened in the thing in the Charger game. They made adjustments. You know, Jamal Charles back in the Charger game was running all over the defense. They went in, and he didn't gain but 15 yards in the second half. He shut him down. It's all football's about making adjustments on the fly, and I guess during the game and the ebbs and the flow of the game and the ups and downs, peaks and valleys, it's harder to get a feel and a grip and slow the game down. As Ray Lewis always says, slow the game down to where you can really understand it. And I think that's where panic stricken. That's where Flacco gets a little antsy, but he hasn't thrown those iffy forcing picks that usually quarterbacks make in pressure times. And honestly, we're talking today, I can't remember the last time Joe Flacco's thrown an interception, can you?
I can't really think about it. There is one thing I noticed about Joe in this last game was that you could tell this guy was getting frustrated. He was throwing that ball, and he wasn't getting interceptions or anything like that, but people, you know, the players weren't catching them, or they were being covered really well by the Chargers. So you could tell that he was getting really ticked off, and he wanted to make these plays, but he couldn't figure a way around this defense. But that's where Ray Rice comes in, and that's where these short passes to Pitta really, really help Flacco out, because even though it's not a long ball or it's not a first down every time, these short passes, he's very comfortable. If you've seen the history of Flacco, he is very comfortable using these tiny short passes, and I think it kind of makes him feel a little bit safer too, that he's not going to throw those picks like everybody else.
You're right. You know, I think in under pressure, that's why it's called Joe Cool, because I don't think he gets any rattled, but he was frustrated, as was the whole bar. The whole bar is frustrated. The whole place was just going crazy because it's just like, if he can just get, where's his accuracy? I thought he was one of the most accurate passers in the NFL, which he is, still is, but he was just missing them. Torrey Smith was wide open in the slot. He had Dennis Pitta wide open, missed him. You know, they would have changed the facet of the game a little bit. And, yeah, you know, they're allowed to have some on and off days. You know, whether elite or they're not elite, you're going to have on and off days. I mean, you know, any sport. You know, Tiger Woods fall from grace. He's trying to build himself back up. But look, he's still one of the greatest golfers ever. I won't want to go against him on a good day, but he's beatable. Anybody's beatable at any given time, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. And you're right, Joe Flacco in the first half was just off. But for some reason, here's the resilience of the Ravens. Here's the resilience of our team. This is why, you know, we call it relentless. We're called team. This is why we come up with the catchphrases this team does, because they come back, they show resilience, and I'm telling you what, I'm fired up, because what an important win. This shows what the Ravens are about, and like Harbaugh said, there is something special going on in this team. It happened in the Super Bowl year in 2000, you know, when, you know, Jermaine Lewis loses his son, and Ray Lewis told him, you're going to have a good game today, and he returns two punts for touchdowns, essentially won the game for us. Some things happen. You know, and some things happen for a reason. And Ray Lewis preaches on destiny all the time. It wasn't our destiny last year to be in the Super Bowl. We missed that kick for a reason. You know why? Because it's going to make this team stronger. And you can tell I'm very fired up, very passionate. I'm amped, because it's Steeler Week. We have Ray Rice, 4th and 29. I mean, wow. I mean, what a play from a playmaker. You know, of course, Ray Rice is going to get a game ball. We know that. You know, the defense gets a game ball for actually stepping up. How about, was it, 6 sacks? What an impressive feat. You know, they were getting in there. And how about Art Jones getting his first sack? That was great. That was very great.
That was a great move by him. If you're giving out the game balls, you know, give it to the defense. I got to give, you know, one out to Paul Kruger especially. I thought he had a great game. He's slowly becoming one of my favorite defensemen on the team, and I see a big future for that guy coming up. But Flacco, Ray Rice, they both deserve game balls. Jacoby Jones does. It's hard to decide just one player for these game balls, because there's so many plays and so many players that stand out in every one of these games. It's crazy. But you were bringing up the fact that the place you were watching the game at was kind of going crazy. Like, what are you doing? What's going on? Really getting into the game. I was in Ocean City, and I got to go to a place called 28th Street Pit and Pub. And let me tell you, man, if you were in Ocean City during Ravens season, watch a game there. That place is awesome. It's an official Ravens roost. They have awesome specials. They got people that regulars coming in, and they give out, you know, purple jello shots whenever there's a touchdown.
That's what they do for our place too, man.
Oh, it's so much fun. Everybody's into it, and they got these amazing thing called funnel cake fries, which we had in celebration. And
funnel cake fries.
Yeah,
really?
Those things are pretty amazing. Oh, it was so good, dude. But the best part about this place, it's on 28th Street, giving it away by the name, 28th Pit and Pub, but right across the street is the Salty Dog, which is a known Steelers bar. So you've got an official Ravens roost against an official Steelers bar in Ocean City.
Seriously, Maryland? That shouldn't be allowed.
I know. I can't believe there's one in Ocean City, but if you're a Steelers fan, that's where you go. Two of them are against each other, you know, all the time. When I left the place, I was flexing. I was dancing in Coastal Highway in front of the Salty Dog, because, hey, their Sunday didn't turn out the way they thought it would. But, hey, if you're ever in Ocean City, check out that place for a game, dude, because it is a lot of fun to go party in Ocean City with these guys.
I might have to take you up on that. I might have to maybe, you know, take a 3-hour trek down there. Just, you know, I'm always up for something new. Maybe a little mini road trip in state and check out a game down there. Thanks for that plug in. I'm very excited. You know, obviously our place at Silver Spring and Bel Air, we rock it. Dude, that place, it was just great to see. The fans come out for the Charger game. The impact of the season, obviously, you know, if you know how it is. If the team sucks and they're not doing well, people aren't really going to come out and spend the money. It's just how it is. You know, just be real. I mean, I'm going to do it. It's a diehard fan. I'm not going to let that waver, and I'm going to still spend my money. I'm still going to go out and support. But you can just see every week it builds, and then with the Charger game, the place shook. It was just when Ray Rice got that, it was just pandemonium. And we were talking about this today. How about this? I mean, he coined the phrase, "Hey diddle diddle, Ray Rice up the middle." I mean, where does this come from? It's great. And I heard that he actually talked this in an interview 6 years ago. He actually had the original text message, and he showed it about that he actually coined that phrase 6 years ago.
Yeah, I saw that on his Facebook page, and that's pretty crazy. It's not something new he's done, but hey, it's a catchphrase, and he's got it on his own T-shirt, and he's selling it at Poor Boys, so the guy knows how to market himself.
Well, speaking of marketing, he said the proceeds are going to his foundation, which is incredible anyway. You know, he shows you how humble an athlete he is, and he doesn't really need the money. You know, he signed the 5-year, $40 million deal, you know, and that's a great thing. You know, it shows you the character Ray Rice has and the character that this organization has and what players we have. It just speaks volumes. And, you know, we were talking today standing in line, you know, I'll get to that later, but we were talking with some fans tonight, and I said, isn't there something about this team how either a player or the team always has something? I mean, what, last year was Ball So Hard University with Terrell Suggs, you know, now it's Ray Rice, hey, Diddleville at the middle, and then, right, you know, with Suggs' line, now he's got Ball So Hard, like, T-shirts, Oreo shirts, like, he has his own line now. It's like a big phrase, and all because of a song. It's pretty funny, and you just see how it goes. And then Ray Rice, they said they sold 7,000 T-shirts since Monday.
Wow.
Or I think it was on Monday or since Monday. You know, it's been a crazy week, but still, that's impressive, and it's not even a full week yet, and they're already in store windows. You know, and I've seen them already out in the streets. I've seen, I mean, you know how it is, the Ravens, they say one thing, and next thing you know, they just, not to say people make money off of it, but it just shows you how successful and how much fun we have as an organization. And, you know, we going back to all the times, you know, it's time to hunt, relentless team, what's our name, play like a Raven. I think we have the best phrases of ever.
It is pretty cool, and it I love how it unites the city. Look at last year, dude, with the Fu Manchus. People were getting felt and putting them on their face.
The Fu Manchu and the get nasty and the get ugly Baltimore. I'm telling you what, I'm tickled to death. It's so much fun being a Ravens fan. I even heard from other fans that, like Eagles fans, Redskins fans, even fans from the West Coast, their teams don't even do what we do, like Purple Fridays. We're crazy over here, and they're like, you guys got support. And I heard that there was a big contingent of Ravens fans in San Diego, that, and Jacoby Jones even said he thought it was a home game. He looked around, and he goes, you can hear him yelling. I've seen the post-game pictures of the Harbaugh shaking hands with the fans, Ray Rice. I mean, there was a big contingent down there, and I heard that San Diego has one of the biggest Ravens followers in the country.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. There is a West Coast group over there for the Ravens. I think it's called the West Wing. I think that's what it's called, the West Wing.
Oh, that's pretty clever. Again, another coin phrase from Ravens. I love it. I mean, I'm telling you what, we had the most original stuff around here, you know. And Suggs even said that himself. His fans are just most original. Speaking of Suggs, before we get on Suggs, we forgot the most ultimate game ball ever. How about this kid, Justin Tucker?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Two game-winning, just forgetting out the two game-winning field goals this year. One against, of course, New England at home, and then the one here. But just the guy is just, he's just awesome. I mean, you know, going back from last year, Billy Cundiff and everything, you know, now, you know, not to, you don't want to wish anybody jobless, but, you know, it's just kind of fortunate how, or luck turns, you know. He misses the field goal in AC Tucker game. My fans, I hate to go over it. I see them on this nightmares all the time. But, you know, to get over that hump, you know, Billy Cundiff misses that. We bring in the rookie Tucker. I already knew in my heart when I was at training camp that one day and I saw him make that long field goal. It was like 50-something yard, 60-something yard. I was like, nope, he's going to be our kicker this year. Watch, you just watch. And I remember picking that preseason. You know, he's going to be our kicker. And how about the poise he shows on the road after that 4th and 29, he diddle-diddle up the middle play, which is just phenomenal in its own right. I just can't gush about that play. I could probably talk another 15 minutes on that play, but then to pick that up after the delay of the spot of the ball, which I thought they were going to move it back. I really thought they were going to not give it to us. I was just like, oh, my God, they're not. See, watch. I was like, we're going to have to fly to San Diego and riot because this is just unbelievable. He got the ball. How about Justin Tucker kicking in the game, tying one? And then I honestly thought how the overtime was going to go, Brandon. I thought we were going to end up. I said, dude, we cannot end in a tie. And then he comes through in the clutch, 2 minutes left, and kicks the game winner. How incredible is this kid? He gets the ultimate game ball right now. I'm telling you, between Ray Rice and him, playmakers. This team's full of playmakers. They make plays. They step up. And I'm just, I'm excited. 9-2. We could have been 8-3, but we're 9-2, and it's looking pretty good right now.
It's looking great. Justin Tucker, he is quite a talent. I am very happy that he's our kicker. You know, like you said, the Patriots game was a big one for him. But look at where he was at the Steelers 2 weeks ago. He missed one of the field goals. It's because he's been in a stadium he's never been in before, and he realized, all right, I can't do it that way. I have to adjust my game, and he did it, and he was able to make field goals later in the game. So this kid who just turned 23, I think this week or last week, has such a patience. He's kind of like Joe Flacco in a little ways, because he's kind of like Joe Cool. He's Justin Cool almost.
Jay Cool.
Yeah, Jay Cool. That's what we got. We just got all these cool guys.
You know, his initials are JT. You know how cool Justin Timberlake is. I mean,
that's true.
The dude's just awesome. I mean, sorry, guys. I mean, you know, Justin Timberlake, I think, is awesome. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, that's a different podcast, but
oh yeah, hey, we got to have fun here, don't we?
Of course, that's what we're doing.
But speaking of players and Boonwell, I was just reading this week, and I was very shocked, and I really had to actually stare at the computer screen to read this. But we're going to start talking about speaking of players and accolades about Pro Bowlers. Do you know six Ravens lead Pro Bowl balloting in their respective positions, and guess who is on that list leading the cornerbacks? Mr. Kerry Williams.
Wow.
What is that about? Hey, it's true, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, Kerry Williams is just, apart from, you know, yes, he's gotten burnt this year, but if you think of he's consistent. You know, he doesn't need the big names to prove that. Yes, he had the pick six against Cleveland to seal the deal. That was the deciding game. But right now, he actually has over 141,000 votes right now, and he leads AFC cornerbacks in Pro Bowl fan voting, which is awesome.
That is awesome for Kerry Williams. It's great for him. He was somebody that we talk about a lot on this podcast, and a lot of the times it's not in a good way, but he's really changed his game up the last couple games. And I don't know if it was, you know, the early games were still like the surgery that he had over the summer were affecting him, but he's like a totally different player in the last few games. He's really coming to his own on this team.
He has. He's coming to his own. And the other Ravens, you know, that lead. You know, Hello Ninata leads. Ed Reed is leading. Even safety Bernard Pollard's on the list. Vontae Leach and Jacoby Jones ran out these six players. These are some special players, and obviously, you know, with the heavy stable running backs in AFC, you know, Ray Rice is going to have to, you know, we need to vote for some Ray Rice after Hey Diddle Diddle. I think he should deserve all the votes, because that was a play. That was play of the year, honestly. You know, whether the Ravens do that, that could go a long way with putting them as a home playoff game, AFC title game, Super Bowl. Not to get carried away with ourselves, just play one game at a time here, guys, but wow, you know, I just can't believe when, and not even just the play, but how about that block Anquan Boldin day? Wow, what a block.
Yeah, I love Anquan Boldin, man. You see that, I mean, just a huge, I think that was his second big hit of the game as well. I think he was running
it
up
was.
The field, and he shouldered some guy, and the guy leapt off his feet and jumped up into the air.
I love these Ravens, man. And then, not to stop at hitting, but I was kind of upset about that Pernard Pollard hit. I mean, the NFL is getting crazy with these hits, and yes, I'm all about protecting players, but they wear helmets for a reason, you know. And he led with his shoulder, he didn't even hit him in a helmet, and they called, but then look what Boldin does. You know, Boldin cracks his guy, and they don't get it. I mean, Eric Weddle had a concussion, and actually, I heard in the postgame conference, Eric Weddle didn't even know they lost the game.
Wow.
He still thought he made the game, he thought he made the game-saving tackle, and it's just showing you. But then Bernard Pollard, and with the Ed Reed suspension, he barely even hit the Steelers guy. It's just getting ridiculous. And it took me probably 15 minutes to calm down after that one. I was hot. I was like, no, this has to stop. It's a shame. It's a crying shame, because you got these headhunters who are taught, I mean, Bernard Paul's a headhunter. These guys are taught to hit. This is what they do. They're safeties. That's what they do. They hit people. You know, football, you hit people. You know, he's got the ball. And like what Bernard Pollard and Reese said, they hit him in a way where they dislodge him from the ball. Not to be vicious about it, but they're trying to make a play, you know, make a football play, try to help, you know, their team win. And when you're trying to make these shoulder tackles, you're saying, get in that helmet, well, why don't we just take helmets off? And maybe that'll end all be all until someone gets cracked in the head open and starts bleeding, then we'll start throwing flags. It's getting ridiculous, Brandon.
You know, it is. This is a hard-hitting game. This isn't, you know, peewee football or anything like that.
No,
these are big guys, and you know, we got to protect the head. You know, we know a lot more about concussions than we did back in the day, and what they're doing right now, I don't think is the best way to fix it. But you know, they are putting a lot of work into it, so they definitely have to figure out the right formula, I guess, to make sure everybody's safe but still keeping the integrity of the game intact.
You're right. It's all about the integrity game, and I hate to see the integrity tarnished because we're trying to make the game safer. Like Brian Urlacher even said, and I liked what he said, if you don't want concussions, don't play. This is what you sign up for. It's a vicious, violent game. It's football. I played lacrosse in high school for 3 years. Lacrosse was equivalent, if not worse, you got sticks. And I remember getting whacked. I mean, I've known goalies that had bruises all over them from that ball hitting them. I mean, that's a vicious game. But you're going to tell them they can't do this and this and that. I mean, I was on the field when somebody gets cross-checked in lacrosse, and they break their collarbone. But you're gonna sit there and study, oh, well, you can't hit with the stick. Come on, you know, it's the sport. You sign up for it. You're supposed to break some legs. You're supposed to get some bloody noses. It's the sport. I remember watching the UFC fight a couple weeks ago with the St. Pierre fight. You got these guys, pound a fist. How about concussions in that sport? You know, they get bruised and battered. They look like they're deformed creatures. You know, but they're two men fighting to the death, and you want to outlaw all that? And you're saying the NFL is not safe. I'm just telling you what right now. I mean, you know, I hate to go on for a tangent like that, but I just, something had to be said, because that, after the Ed Reed suspension and take back, and he fined $50,000, and then with the Bernard Pollard, and I remember he said that, dude, Phil, better not fine me or flag me for that one. I said, it's just getting ridiculous. I'm tired of hearing every press conference or something. And, you know, not to take away from the negativity of the excitement of the game and the wins and the plays, but I just had to say something. It's just something that was just, it just got stopped, and it's irritating me.
Yeah, that's why we have a show. So yeah, that's why we have a show. So it's good that you're bringing that up. So yeah, that's definitely something to talk about. But let's move on a little bit here. Before we talk about this Steelers game, I do want to bring up the fact that I heard some good news. Ray Lewis was actually at the facilities this week, and he's not practicing yet, but he is there rehabbing. So it's always good to have Ray Lewis in the building. I think it's a great pick-me-up for the team as well to have him around, because he's such an inspirational guy.
Very. How tickled am I to hear this? This is awesome news. When he went down, he's going to be gone for a while. It was a tricep injury. Now, obviously, it's a serious injury. And look, the guy shows time and time again, everybody's like, is he done? Is he retired? He put those answers down. He put the questions to bed and said, look, I'm coming back. And we all knew. We did this podcast a month ago. We knew. He's not going to go out on that kind of terms. He's going to come back and lead this team. He's a leader. Like Terrell Suggs has said, when our general comes back, you all will see. You know, our general will come back. He's going to lead this team. He's going to come back on his terms. I don't think the Ravens and himself are going to be rushed back, and they're going to rush him back in there. Obviously, I'm not saying we don't need him, but we're doing fine right now. He's going to have that relay boost, but I'm telling you, when he comes out of that tunnel, I think the earth will move with the loudness and the intensity that's going to come from the fans when he comes out of that tunnel and it erupts. It's going to be euphoria. I can only imagine what that day is going to feel like.
It's going to be crazy. The day they're saying, I mean, there's a slight rumor going around that he might be coming back in week 15 up against the Denver Broncos, which, I mean, from he's going to be out for the rest of the season, we'll see him next year, to being back on week 15, it's just insane that he's going to be back that quick. So who knows? He hasn't practiced or anything like that today. Thursday, I believe, was the first day where he could actually go out and practice if he was ready, but he didn't. So it's going to be very interesting to see, but I can't wait for Ray Lewis to come back and be on the field. But hey,
you and me both, man. It's my boy.
Absolutely. Ray Lewis, you know, he's the spirit of this team. It's always great to have him there. But hey, you got to meet somebody else that's really important to the defense. You got to meet Terrell Suggs tonight, man. Tell me about that.
Oh, I did, man. You know, I've been tickled to death. I was pumped up all day long. What a day I've had. I mean, pumped up. Steeler Week, Purple Friday, Suggs. I mean, he did a Suggs. Terrell Suggs. I'm already tripping over my words. I'm so excited. Terrell Suggs did an autograph signing at White Marsh at Great Moment Sports, and it was great to see. You know, I had some autograph tickets. I bought some, and it was very, very excited to see Terrell Suggs again. He looked great. He was in great form. He was smiling, joking. I got, you know, I put the twit pics up, and I put them on Facebook and Twitter. I had two pictures signed in jersey. It was an awesome experience, man. It was good to mingle with the fans. He inscribed, Steeler Week, so I got a nice picture of him over Big Ben on the ground, and he put his famous quote, you know, on that, and I got him to sign another picture. It was Balsahar, Defensive Player of the Year 2011. I talked with him a bit. He was joking. He was loose. Yeah, because I wore the shirt with the Roethlisberger quote, and he goes, I like that shirt, man. I said, yeah, I wonder who came up with that quote. He goes, yeah, some football player. He started chuckling. And then my buddy was taking pictures, and he actually was, I don't know if he was seriously joking, but it was kind of funny because he goes, because some fan shouts out from the back of the line, he goes, yeah, he's not playing this Sunday. Aren't you disappointed? And he goes, he's not? He's out? I'm like, well, so far they're reporting him. I think he was utterly disappointed that Ben wasn't going to play. I said, oh, my gosh. So I was giving him a hard time. I joked about him and Skip Bayless because, again, they were going at it this week again. I mean, I even told him, I said, you're going to have a picture of Skip Bayless and sign it. You might have to own him, too, because you and him have a new rivalry going on. He started, he goes, yeah. And I shook his hand. I said, I can't wait to just get this. And I even said something to him. They're wearing the black jerseys on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, they are wearing the black jerseys.
They are, and I did say that to him. I said, because I had a black jersey signed tonight, and I said, I can't wait to see you guys in the black. It's awesome. He goes, yeah, they're my favorites. I can't wait to get out there. I said, I'll be there rooting hard, man. Let's go. Steelers week. He goes, that's right. And I shook his hand, and it was just awesome. It was an awesome experience, and not only meet him, but I actually got to mingle it with some fans. We exchanged some phone numbers. I met some new fans on Twitter today. It was a great Ravens day, Brandon. I shared the wealth. I got the podcast out there. You know, I was mingling with fans. You know, where TV Lodge are going to be. You know, they might come up to, and hopefully you can come up one of these teams, but to our location at Silver Spring in Bel Air to watch it with our Ravens crew. But we might have recruited two or three new people for our group. We're just growing. We had a great time. Terrell Suggs signing was tonight. It was just an awesome experience. I got pumped up. That's my second favorite player other than Ray Lewis. It was just great to see him, and I congratulated him on a great season so far, and even the Ed Block Courage Award. We probably had a good 3 or 4 minutes interaction, so it was very exciting to see Terrell Suggs.
That's really cool, and I'm glad you got to meet some Raven fans, and if any of those new Raven fans are listening to the call right now, just want to say thank you for downloading the show and listening to it, and I'm glad that you're enjoying the show and you're digging it. I know Josh is real passionate about the Ravens, so
I'm a little sometimes carried away, but it's okay.
So you always know that this guy's going to be talking about Ravens football, and that's what we all want to talk about because we love that team so much. So yeah, let's talk about a little bit about the game. You brought it up, Big Ben. He's still not looking like he's going to be playing. He's been on the practice field, kind of throwing lightly, but doesn't look like he's going to be there on Sunday.
No, it doesn't look like it right now. And hey, as a fan, I'm great to see it because you see what they look like without him. They looked atrocious. I mean, 8 turnovers against the Browns. I mean, Cookie Batch. That's what I'm going to call his new nickname is Cookie Batch. Speaking of Charlie Batch, I mean. I mean, that was just abysmal. All starting running backs had a fumble. He had 3 or 4 picks. The Browns just—they made him look terrible. And I'm telling you, they don't. Steelers don't stand a chance coming into the bank. I'm telling you, we play well at home. They're the last team to beat us. Remember that old Troy Polamalu play coming off the end? I hate to talk about that play.
I do. I was there for that one. I remember.
Oh
that.
Yeah, you. I remember you telling me that. You told me about that game and. You know, it's funny. That's the last I researched it. The last time the Ravens lost at M&T Bank Stadium was that game, 2010. So they haven't lost since then. They're the last team to beat us there. And actually, speaking of the Ravens Steelers, the last time we've even lost the Steelers was that year in the 2010 divisional playoffs when we were up and we kind of had that heartbreaking loss and let that slip. So, again, this rivalry's heated. It's Steeler week, heat week number 2. And to tell you a little bit funny about it, I was standing in line for the Suggs signing. Chick-fil-A was gracious enough to hand out free Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Isn't that great?
That sounds pretty good.
Obviously, the guy said, and you'll love it. Obviously, you'll love it. It's Steeler week, and you know how I hate Heinz ketchup. Well, he goes, you want some ketchup for you? I said, yeah. He threw me a packet. It was that Heinz little ketchup score bottle. I was like, really? So, and of course, I told all the fans around me how, because they were like, you're not going yes and no. I said, I don't do Heinz products. My buddy started cracking up. He goes, you are, because he didn't know. He goes, really? You're that serious? I'm like, dude, I don't support that team. And I had told them the whole story. I had the fans cracking up. They're like, I've never heard of that. I'm like, trust me. You're that passionate and hate this team, you'll do it too. And then, speaking of, you know, I had to interject my little, hey, I hate Heinz ketchup, it's Steeler week kind of. And it's Steeler week. It's my favorite week of the year. It's almost like pre-Christmas for me. And I'll be going to the game, and I hate to say this, fans, but as big a fan as I am, this is my first Ravens-Steeler game in the flesh in person. Can't wait. I really can't wait.
It's going to be a good one, I got to say. You know, last time...
Oh, my God, good one.
Yeah, from 2 weeks ago, we're talking about how Ben's not playing. He wasn't playing 2 weeks ago. But Paul Kruger broke a bunch of ribs for the second-string quarterback, so we're meeting up the third-string quarterback. So didn't have a great game last week, so the defense, especially the cornerbacks, are going to have to be on their toes with this guy because it looks like there's a chance for a lot of interceptions. But the offense for the Ravens are going to have to kind of worry because Troy Polamalu looks like he's coming back in this game. And he's a guy that Dennis Pitta said earlier today, you'd never know where he's going to be because he gets to where he wants to go, and you just got to keep an eye on him at all times. So that's definitely a factor for this offense coming up.
It is. It's a very big factor. And it's their playoff game. If we look at the implications right now in the AFC, We could put the Steelers in elimination. They, of course, they're going to play. They're on a two-game lose streak. We can. They were 6-3. We beat them. They just lost to the Browns. We can put them at 6-6. We can be 10-2. Create a huge separation in division. And actually, this game has heavy, heavy implications. How about this? We win. Do you know we lock up a playoff berth?
Oh.
How incredible and awesome that is. Five straight years in a row. Five straight years. Who would have thought that? Five straight years.
That's just
amazing.
I could keep saying it.
That sounds like a broken record, but Brandon, five straight years in the playoffs. Unprecedented. And something special might be on top. If the San Diego Chargers can exact revenge on our behalf against the Bengals and we win, guess what, everybody? We're division champions.
This early in the season. That's just insane.
Week 13 will be division champions.
Jeez.
I know. I almost want to just run around screaming just thinking about it. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but we need some help. But it can happen. It's a reality. So we're going to definitely be scoreboard watching, because if Cincinnati falls, we beat the Squealers, you know where we'll be.
Now,
AFC North champions.
Is Cincinnati, are they away for this game? Are they in San Diego?
Let me look that up here. You know, I want to actually pull that up, because I really don't know. Honestly, I haven't even gotten a chance to look at it this week. But I will log on ESPN now, and I will actually know momentarily. But we'll continue to go on that for a minute. But
right.
You're right.
Because
we've never seen this early.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, what happens with the Ravens when they go to the West Coast. Even though we did come out with a win, had to go to overtime. It was a very close game. So we'll see what happens with Cincinnati going to the West Coast, if that's true, that they're going to be on the West Coast for this coming game. So that kind of helps us out there. This is going to be a very strange game. You know, with the Ravens and the Steelers, it always comes down to a hard-hitting not a high-scoring game. So we're going to have a very experienced defense against a third-string quarterback. So, I mean, it really seems like the Ravens are just going to be, like, eating this guy for lunch. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And you'd think that, oh, no, this game's going to get away from them and they're going to be fine. But, again, they do have Troy Polamalu coming back. That's a huge coup for them. They lost Big Ben, a huge key to their team, and they got Troy back on the field. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with these two guys. We do have a few injuries on the Ravens, and you know, we don't have Webb or Ray Lewis, or I don't believe Jimmy Smith is going to be playing either. And Corey Graham's been sick. You can hear I've been sick too, so he hasn't been practicing on the field. We might not see him play. So it'll be it's definitely going to be interesting to see who's going to be on the field, who isn't, and how that affects the team going up against this third string quarterback.
You're right. This is going to be heavy with the third-string quarterback. It's going to be a heavy, heavy favorite for us, you know, especially at home game. And Polamalu combat, yeah, it's going to be a boost for Pittsburgh. They need all the help they can get, you know. And we're going to put a foot on them. They're right. They need all the help they can get, because, honestly, I don't think they stand a chance. You know, I think this is going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be a closer game than people expect. I think this one might be a blowout. And I was surprised that the Cleveland game was only a six-point game with all those turnovers. But, again, it's the Brownies. And I actually heard, speaking of the Brownies, I heard a new nickname for them, the Cleveland Clowns. and that was courtesy, I think, of Stephen A. Smith or Keyshawn Johnson, one of those two guys. I was watching ESPN. I think that was pretty funny. But, you know, not to away from our game here. And I really don't think they stand a chance. Even though Paul Malone there, yes, it gives him a boost on defense, but he hasn't played all year. He's going to be a factor. He's number 43 back there. It's just like Ed Reed being back there. You got to beware. He's given us fits from the 2008 AFC Championship game to play it 2 years ago when he came off the corner. Yes, he does is make big plays, and he's a big playmaker for them. But with number three strong quarterback under center, Ravens don't lose at home. And if Charlie Batch, or Cookie Batch as I like to call him, if he's under center, I'm telling you, we're going to feast. This is going to be post-Thanksgiving feast right here, and it's going to be pre-Christmas feast. We're going to feast on them. I don't think they stand a chance. And just looking at the demographics of the game, I actually would have predicted a 27-10 Ravens win right now.
I like that. I think that sounds pretty good. You know, here's something very interesting you brought up about Troy Polamalu, too. This is his first game back. You know, even though he is a factor and he's a guy you always got to watch for, there's always a chance that somebody like that's got some rust on them as well, if that's their first game, especially. That's why Suggs came back when he did. You know, he wanted to get some of that rust off before all of these really big November games. So to come back against your arch rival and to play a game against the Ravens as your first game of the season, that's quite a mountain to climb on your first time back.
You're right, and I think Ray Lewis will do the same. Not that we're going to rush him back, but I think when the time is right, he'll come into the correct game to get ready for the playoffs, not to come in, we're not going to have a first round bye, he'll come in for the divisional game. I don't think that's going to happen. It's Ray Lewis. I don't think number 52 will do that. I think he'll come back. He's going to come back for probably one of the last home games after this weekend, either whether it's the Broncos game on the 16th or Christmas weekend. How about a great Christmas present would that be, playing the defending Super Bowl champion? Actually, I'm going to predict that right now. He's going to come back, last home game of the season, Christmas weekend, against the defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants in a rematch of Super Bowl 35, obviously 12 years ago. And I think there might be a major earthquake on Christmas weekend because M&T is going to erupt, because I can feel number 52 coming out of the tunnel.
Oh, I'm excited. I hope you're completely right. I really do.
I hope I'm right, too. Oh, also wanted to touch, while it's fresh in my mind, you told me a little bit ago to look up the Bengals Chargers game. It's actually the same time. We're playing primetime 4:25 kickoff this Sunday at home. It is on the West Coast, so the Bengals are playing at San Diego at 4:25, so we're going to have to be peeking at the scoreboard come Sunday afternoon, same time. So if we can get ahead and we see that scoreboard, you know what? We'll be celebrating.
That sounds good. You know, definitely going on the West Coast is a factor. There's no way that anyone can deny that. So that's something that's going to be helping out us, and it's going to be in our favor this week. Wasn't really a big factor last week? But so we'll be scoreboard watching. There's a lot going on this weekend. We're getting close to the playoffs. So even though every single game always counts, they're counting just a little bit more right now.
They are, and I'm just tickled to death that we've had a. If we look at the schedule. You know, we've had a perfect November.
Oh, really?
We figured we had one loss week two in September at Philadelphia. Then we lost right before the bye week. It was the third week into October. We lost at Houston. We had the bye week. Then we got open with the Browns in November. We won all four games. And actually, December 2nd is Sunday, so we turned the calendar. So we've actually had a perfect November. Congratulations, Ravens. Wow, that's well done.
That's very well done.
And that shows the poise of a playoff team, Brandon. If we look at it, the good teams get off to a good start in September, October, but they win in November and December and play their best football, stay hot, going into January, and then hopefully we'll be playing in early February in New Orleans, and that's the goal. And right now, I really see the demographics of the schedule, how they lay it out. We could probably be a 13-3 team. One more loss, maybe. Our two road games left are Washington and Cincinnati. We have the Manning brothers back-to-back at home. I feel good with that being at home versus away. Denver is hot right now. They're 8-3. They're on a six-game winning streak, and they're unprecedented. Obviously, the Patriots are right on our heels. They were 3-3. Now they're 8-3 with a five-game streak. But actually, we're on our own streak right now. I actually heard today Flacco, or the Ravens, for that matter, in the Flacco Ray race with John Harbaugh, I don't think they've actually won five games in a row. Quote me if I'm wrong, fans. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I am human. I'm not a human computer. I don't know everything, but I don't think the Ravens have won five in a row, not that I remember.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I think it was 2006 they did that, but that was the Brian Billick, Steve McNair era, and they went 13-3 that year. That was our best record we posted. And just looking at it, we have five games left. I see maybe one loss of that. We can run the table and be 14-2. That would be pretty sweet.
That would be great. You know, I'm going to that Redskins-Ravens game, so I'm excited for that. I want to see.
Oh, nice. So I'll be at this one. You'll be at the next one. That'll be great for us.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be really great.
So you'll be in the hostile territory down there at FedEx Field, so that's going to be fun to report. Because I haven't been on a road game since 2010, so that's going to be fun for us to report on the road home front there. Yes, it's down the Beltway, but it's still a road game. So it'll be fun to see that.
I'm going to be interested to see how many Raven fans are actually down there. It's not that far of a road trip. I'm going on a bus trip with a bunch of Raven fans, so I know I'll at least be surrounded in one section with Raven fans, so I'm excited for that. But have we covered everything? Do we get everything? This is a big week.
Oh, it was a two-weeker. We had to cover, we covered a lot, and I think we got it all. I mean, if not, you know, we're always up for doing it. Hey, we'll do another show or two just to get the cracks in there. But hey, as we always say here on the call, If we didn't cover it, I think Ed Reed's got the back.
That's good to know. So
a little catchphrase. I love it, man. Again, with the catchphrases and the Ravens, I'm tickled to death. It's been a great week. I've been fired up, and oh my God, I really hate to do week to wind down, but here we go. Coming up on Purple Friday, Ravens edition. I can't wait. Let's whoop some through. And oh, to touch on this, get this. First time, this might be a first feat in Ravens franchise history. We have a lot going on Sunday. Not only will we clinch a playoff spot with a win, we can clinch a division with a win and the Bengals lost, but guess what? This would be the first time in Ravens history that we would sweep the Steelers in back-to-back seasons, fans. I almost wanted a standing ovation for that one.
I got my broom ready. I got my broom ready. I'm ready for it.
Four straight games, they beat us. I love it. Yeah, we own them in Heinz Field now, three straight years, and I'm telling you, these games have been close. Yeah, I mean, 27-10 prediction might be out of the pattern of the Ravens Steelers games. Yes, we blew the doors off from opening day last year, and this year's game was different. But again, it was a road game, and we had to get used to it. But being at home with the energy, and after last week and the build up of this week, I really think it's not going to be a close game. If it is, I'd be shocked. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it is, because it's a divisional opponent. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They always play us tough. They know us in and out. I mean, we're just like two. This is two neighbors that don't like each other. We know each other very well. We're 5 hours apart. We play two times, sometimes three times a year. We hate them. They hate us. It's mutual. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a close game, but I'm going to stick to my gun and say 27-10, and because it's a home game. If it was away this time, I would actually predict a closer game like I did last time, but we don't lose at home. And until the track record says no, we're going to win another home game. I can see it now.
Yeah, definitely being at home, that's going to be a huge advantage for us. They love playing at M&T Bank. The fans love to see him. You know, Terrell Suggs even posted on Facebook, he wants to hear everybody screaming on the first down, the second down, the third down. He doesn't want the Steelers to have, like,
they're screaming.
Yeah, he doesn't want, like, you know, any kind of, like, a breath of fresh air at all. He wants everybody on their feet the entire game. So hopefully we can deliver that. You know, if you want to follow along with me or Josh during the game, you can follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. And if you want to hear about Josh's first experience of Ravens Steelers live, where can people follow you at on Twitter?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52. That's my Twitter handle. And just want to throw another interjection. I mean, you said Terrell Suggs' name, and you know, just going over the preview on Network fans tomorrow night for Purple Friday. If you're not doing anything tomorrow night, 7:00, I'm sure it'll see you can set your DVRs if not. But face of the franchise, Terrell Suggs will be on NFL Network at 7 p.m. tomorrow night for Purple Friday. So you want to get a fix, tune in. I think it's going to be a great feature and give us right up for Sunday. You know, Terrell Suggs is our new leader right now on the defense, other than, you know, Jermaine McClain calling the shots over the middle with our middle linebacker position. But, boy, we can't wait to get our general back. And I just wanted to put that plug in there because I'll be watching. It's an off night for me. So Purple Friday, I get home right at 7. We'll be chilling watching some Terrell Suggs. Can't wait till Sunday, fans. And as I always say, Baltimore Ravens, we're going to fly high on Sunday. Let's go beat them Pittsburgh Squealers.
That sounds pretty good, man. But you know what? Before you get home on Friday, I forgot to bring this up earlier. I sent you this on Facebook. If you go to Sonic of Rosedale and you say, "Hey, diddle diddle, Ray Rice up the middle," they'll take 10% off your order tomorrow night on Purple Friday. So,
shoot, this town's awesome, man. How about that? I mean, say the catchphrase, save 10%, man. Hey, it's a win-win. You know, we have fun on Purple Friday. You're right. I forgot to interject. You're right, man. I saw that link. You know, I'd definitely be partaking in some Sonic on some lunch break. And I haven't had Sonic in a while, so it's going to be a chance to go get some of those, outdoor things for tater tots or something.
Oh, yeah, they're great, aren't they?
I got to give me some of the tater tots and celebrate some hey diddle diddle at the middle. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to save some 10%. I can't wait. I'm ready for this. Man, you know, I'll be in lot 8. You're going to look me up. I can't wait. And again, let's fly high on Sunday, fellas.
This has been a production of the Adam.